Hey, 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 live free every day. Welcome to another edition of Live Free Austin. John Bush, Jason Rink, rocking and rolling, moving and grooving here in Austin, Texas, every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Jason, how you doing?
I'm doing great today. I'm feeling free here in Austin.
Yeah.
And we want to just give a shout out to everybody who's been checking us out. Our podcast numbers are way up at livefreeaustinradio.com. Yeah. And had a lot of great guests over the last few weeks. I've talked about a number of issues.
Robert Murphy, Tom Wood, some great economic chats.
And Deborah Medina.
That was pretty fiery.
So we're bringing in the big guests to talk about the big issues of the economy, to talk about, you know, property rights, to talk about personal privacy, the TSA, all of these different things. And, you know, we just want to thank you for joining us.
Stick around. Keep listening. It's only going to get better, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
We want to thank our sponsors, too. Foundation for a Free Society, MyFreeSociety.com, Shentrition, wonderful energy drinks, spirulina, superfoods. You can check out the banner on our website if you want to order from those guys. All the proceeds go to support the radio show. Also, Brave New Bookstore. It's BraveNewBookstore.com, 1904 Guadalupe Street here in Austin on the drag if you live in town. They have all their selection on the website as well. They ship it to you rather quickly. And also, Don'tTreadOnCat.com, our latest sponsor. It's grassroots headlines from across the country chronicling the freedom movement. She's got a lot of original bloggers, too. So those are the guys that make this show possible. And again, we want to thank the listeners for tuning in and living free with us.
That's right. And I just want to let everybody know that they can rest easy. Those who are already setting their sights on 2012, because we do have a Reagan on the horizon.
That's right. There's a Reagan on the horizon, ladies and gentlemen.
It was made
Texas Jim.
That's right. It was made clear to me on Facebook. That's where I get all my news. And if it's not on Facebook, it didn't happen.
That's right. It's not true.
It isn't true unless it's on Facebook. But there was an interview with Rick Perry, who's been gallivanting around the nation promoting.
I love Rick Perry.
We all do. And that's why I moved to Texas. And he's going around the country promoting his new book, Fed Up, because he's just fed up with that big spending.
Oh, yeah.
He's just fed up with the old Washington Country Club.
And with the federal government, too.
He's fed up with it.
What a catchy name.
And you know what? The man is spouting some incredibly good rhetoric right now.
Oh, yeah.
He is on point.
It gets me excited.
And
just like the TSA does.
I know. It's such a nice combo there.
Oh,
Rick
yeah.
Perry and the TSA.
With the nice haircut and everything.
Well, the idea here is that I think the Tea Party and the conservatives are looking for the next Reagan. They're looking for Reagan on the horizon. So I get these messages and it's like, Paul Ryan, he's Reagan on the horizon. And Chris Christie, Reagan on the horizon. You know, Sarah Palin, Reagan, Reagana on the horizon. And now Rick Perry. So is Rick Perry the small government, you know, is he going to go to Washington and clean up and, you know, get rid of all the bums and all the rhinos out of there and shrink government at a federal level? Do you think that is what Rick Perry would do?
Well, I've lived in Texas my whole life, so I've had the pleasure of enjoying 10 years with old slick Rick Perry, whom Glenn Beck wants to make out with, by the way.
I know, if he wants to French kiss him, actually.
That's right, French kiss with this nice, pretty haircut. So here's a little breakdown on old Rick Perry. We like to rail on him. We don't hold back when it comes to slick Rick, and it's really saddens me to see, you know, a lot of these genuine limited government conservatives that make up the grassroots of the Tea Party movement continue to be betrayed and deceived by a lot of these snake oil salesmen who claim to represent their interests, who claim to represent American constitutional interests, when in reality they just sell out again to the big government. So in case you forgot, listeners out there, I know a lot of people support Perry, even listeners on this network. Let's go over a little bit of the history about Rick Perry and what he's really about if he is a small government conservative. First thing to point out on his great book, Fed Up, in reality, you know, he likes to speak against the federal government, claims to be this big 10th Amendment guy. In the past 10 years, we haven't seen one nullification or 10th Amendment piece of legislation genuinely pushing back on the federal government come through. Not to mention, if you take a look at the people that Perry puts in charge of the various state level agencies, like the DPS, for example, he doesn't promote people from within. He doesn't promote Texans. Rather, he brings in people who have made their career working for the FBI. So if you ask me, ladies and gentlemen, that's not very fed up. Not to mention, FEMA's been in town here in Austin. They just recently left for about 5 or 6 years after Rita happened, Hurricane Rita. And they've just been sitting in here leeching off the Texas taxpayer, of course, using all of our good services. But moving on just from that, of course, everyone's familiar with the Trans-Texas Corridor and TxDOT, the Texas Department of Transportation, which recently boondoggled $1 billion. This is all taking place under Perry's watch. Perry was a champion of the Trans-Texas Corridor, which, of course, was going to bring about some of the worst eminent domain abuses in the history of this country. Not to mention, it's part of a larger scheme to create a multimodal supranational transportation link. Many people are deeming the NAFTA superhighway. Thankfully, Oklahoma had the gall to, had the huevos, I should say, to pass a bill that actually would stop the Trans-Texas Corridor at the Oklahoma border. So they're not going to be able to get their multimodal Canada, America, U.S. NAFTA superhighway. Moving on from there, of course, Perry supported a massive increase in the business margins tax that really would have really trampled on local businesses. One thing that a lot of people overlook, and this is definitely not the makings of a small government conservative by any means, big government pimp Rick Perry, he tried to mandate that all girls in Texas would be forced to take an HPV vaccine, the cervical cancer vaccine, which was very controversial. And wouldn't you know it, now after a lot of people take that vaccine, a lot of these young girls actually die. Some of them have seizures and some very severe medical problems. So it's always good to educate before you vaccinate. But more importantly, in the United States, we don't want to have something, a medical procedure like that forced upon us. And Rick Perry, of course, was a major proponent of that.
Right. So, I mean, here we have this whole slew of things that, you know, is violation, eminent domain violations, personal privacy and property, as far as, hey, we're going to mandate vaccines. I mean, you know, I don't think you have to go that much further than that to realize that this guy is not always cracked up to
be. Bad news bears.
And, you know, the truth of the matter is, too, is that you see the Tea Party looking for the next Reagan. But what's funny is that Reagan is not the standard of conservatism. He may be better than what the conservative Republicans have, you know, dished out in any recent history.
Not saying much.
But, you know, that's like, that's why, you know, the Republicans are often comparing themselves to the Democrats because they're always better than the Democrats when it comes to their small government agenda.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the Constitution is really the standard of comparison that we have.
And you had a quote the other day on Facebook, the Democrats are growing the government by 90 miles per hour and the Republicans by 65.
Yeah, that's right. And it's just everybody, I think everybody could see that now.
Nobody's putting it in reverse.
Yeah, no one's putting it in reverse.
The Libertarians can't even get it out of neutral.
Yeah, they're just kind of idling right there.
Reading books.
But, you know, it's funny. I mean, one of the things that people don't realize that happened under Reagan was, and this really launched Alan Greenspan's career.
I love Alan Greenspan.
He's the maestro.
He's an Austrian economist.
Yeah, and Ayn Rand libertarian. So this idea, Greenspan is the one who came up with this scheme to help fund Reagan's administration by not technically raising taxes, because he you know, encouraged the increase of the Social Security tax from 9.35% in 1981 to 15.3% in 1990. Okay. And what happened was, the scheme here was, this isn't really a tax increase because people are going to get this back in their old age. Right.
Sure.
And so that money was put there. Social Security is a very regressive tax because it's capped at today, I think, $106,000 in wages. So if you make over that, you don't get taxed anymore. Mm-hmm. So it taxes the, you know, the less wealthy, you know, the middle class.
Mm-hmm.
And where did all that money go? It's gone because administrations like Reagan and then Bush and Bush the second and Clinton reached in there and they took that money that wasn't really earmarked for anything. It goes into the general fund, but they bought treasuries with it. So Social Security is basically just a bunch of IOUs, and Greenspan and Reagan, that was a $1.69 trillion tax increase, essentially, that isn't even there anymore.
Yep. He expanded government immensely. And it's just, you know, it's ironic. All these people touting him, they love Reagan. They put him up on a pedestal. They want to see Reagan style Republicans. You know, we all saw how that first Ron revolution got us, you know, expanded government immensely, grew the debt more than any president before in history, only to be surpassed by another Republican limited government guy, George W.
And that the truth of the matter is that most of the time, the reason Republicans don't have a problem with how Reagan expanded government is because it's in ways that they can appreciate the military.
Ah, yes.
And that's the one untouchable for most conservative Republicans. Mm-hmm. And yet we find out that now we outspend every other nation grossly. I mean, I think we outspend Iran by 72 times.
We're spending like $2 trillion a year fighting the war on terror. That might just be the war in Afghanistan, actually.
Yeah, and it actually is when you add up everything that's related to military spending, it's out of control. So when these small government Republicans look at, you know, hey, we're going to cut back, we're going to cut the government, they've got to look at the Pentagon and military spending. And I'll tell you what, Sarah Palin's not doing it.
Mm-mm.
These Republicans that are, you know, trying to jockey for position for 2012,
the pledge,
it's hands off all things related to the military industrial complex. So we'll see where that gets us here in the run up to 2012.
The revolving door spins all the more. Yeah, and then one more thing on the Perry. You know, he touts this massive job growth, but a large majority, the vast majority of the jobs that were created here in Texas are public sector jobs. So we all know that when you grow the public sector, it's an illusion. There's not really economic stimulation because these public sector jobs derive their sustenance from leeching off of the American taxpayer. In a sense, they're actually hurting the economy because they are, in order to grow those public sector jobs, you have to grow taxes. You got to take money from other places, and you're not allowing the private sector, businesses, entrepreneurs to flourish and genuinely grow economy. It's fake. It's phony. He's a phony conservative. So maybe he is going to be the next Ronald Reagan because they're both phony conservatives.
That's right. Ooh. That was a strike at Reagan, man. That's tough.
The strike at Perry.
Well, you know, both, actually.
Yep.
And here's the deal is what we've got to do is look beyond the rhetoric going into 2012, people. And we got to say everybody knows how to talk a good game these days. You know, the American public's not as dumb as we used to be, frankly. We have the internet.
The internet's.
People aren't on mainstream media telling us what to think all the time. And if they do, we can kind of check them out.
Including Glenn Beck.
That's right. Well, you know, and we got to make sure he's not leading us all astray, right? And so here's the deal is we've got to look and say, seriously, who really has the track record to back up what they're talking about? If nobody does, then you've got to look elsewhere, you know, and not make justifications and say, you know, these guys are moving us in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Because what is the right direction? The right direction is neutral, people. I mean, not neutral, it's reverse, excuse me.
Let's just chill out, relax.
Yeah, the right direction is reverse. The right direction is scaling government back. It's been growing far too long, and it's just the fulfillment of Jefferson's warning where he says, you know, the tendency of government is to increase, and the tendency for liberty is to decrease, and it's really just a consistent battle against that. I know he's a pretty smart guy.
That Jefferson. So, ladies and gentlemen, as the WHO said, we won't get fooled again, and we want to bring you that information and that insight here on the Live Free Austin radio show. We're coming up on a break, but we want you to stick around. We got a great guest coming up after the next segment, Jack Spierko of thesurvivalpodcast.com. Going to talk about modern survivalism, what you can do to live a more free and prosperous life. Get yourself off the grid. Start getting self-sufficient. That's coming right up. We also got a lot of other great news. So stick around. Jason Rink, John Bush. This is Live Free Austin.
Attention, Big Talker listeners. Want to get the real information on the agenda behind the Obama administration's policies? Brave New Books, Austin's own fiercely independent bookstore, has the resources you need to understand the Federal Reserve, international banking, and the forces behind President Obama. Brave New Books is located a block south of UT at 1904 Guadalupe Street. Contact us at 480-2503 or at bravenewbookstore.com.
More energy, stronger immune power, improved sense of well-being. How many supplements have you heard boast of these benefits? The team behind Centrition believes that supplements should over-deliver on their promises. And Centrition does just that. Centrition utilizes the ancient healing wisdom of Chinese medicine in conjunction with the science of modern nutrition. Adaptogenic herbs serve as the healing component, and organic hemp protein and greens and superfoods act as a balanced nutrient base. Plus, Centrition tastes great in just water. This powder supplement is everything you'd want in a product, and it's all natural. Visit Centrition.com to order yours or call 1-866-497-7436. After you use Centrition, you'll believe in supplements again.
Are you tired of big government treading on your liberty? Well, so are we. We're Brave New Books, the fiercest independent bookstore in Austin. Located a block south of UT Austin, Brave New Books not only carries the information you need to be ahead of the curve, but we also have water filters, storable food, and superfoods that help you put your health back into your own hands. Contact us at 480-2503, at bravenewbookstore.com, or stop by at 1904 Guadalupe Street.
Welcome back to Live Free Austin. Jason Rink and John Bush here every Saturday, 3 to 4 p.m. on 98.9. And we're always giving you the news, views, and tools you can use to live a more free and prosperous life. We're going to be doing that the next segment. We're going to have Jack Spierko from The Survival Podcast, one of my favorite podcasts that's out there in the internet universe. Mm-hmm. And so we encourage you to stick around for that. But we do want to talk about the TSA has just been in the news cycle, it seems like forever.
And in our pants.
Yeah, and they have been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in our pants. this thing is I started thinking about this. You know, there's not very many stories that stay in the news cycle for more than like 48 hours anymore, it seems like. I mean, the news cycle moves so fast, and yet mm-hmm. the TSA is just all over.
Inculcated.
It's not going away. And part of it may be because, of this National Opt-Out Day that was just this past week, things like that.
Great success.
Yeah, that's right. And we do, we said last week's show that, we're encouraging this kind of civil disobedience and to stand up against intrusive government and not just go along with it, even if that means inconveniences, even if that means
a little bit of risk.
That, exactly. And yet I couldn't help but think that there was something behind all of this brouhaha. And now I'm not trying to be conspiratorial here, but I just got a little bit, it's kind of fishy to me, John.
Funny feeling.
Yeah.
Something didn't sit right.
Yes. And I remember I said, I think what's going on is they're trying to get Americans, or they're allowing Americans to get mad about this, that the TSA is actually more intrusive in a physical sense, and that's actually by design, because what they want is for people to get so mad about it that they got to shut it down, and that they're able to trot out what's ultimately a more intrusive method, mm-hmm. but it'll be an easier pill to swallow for the American mm-hmm. public. And my thought was that it would have to do with some sort of biometric trusted traveler card,
Big Brother,
where they would say, hey, look, we don't want to shake down innocent Americans. We are only looking for the bad guys. And so,
wherever they may be,
just give us a retinal scan, a sample of your DNA. We'll do a background check.
Facial scan.
Yeah, that's right. Everything to make sure you are you. And we'll issue this international or national trusted traveler card. And when you're part of this club, you can go right through, just go through the regular metal detectors.
VIP. You'll feel special.
It'll be just like it was before the body scanners, which was so good.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Back in the good old days.
Right. When you just had to take your shoes off and your belt off.
Oh, yeah. You weren't humiliated at all.
Right. And they just had to wand you.
Sure.
And so it's interesting because all this anger against the TSA and this outrage could actually end up sort of ushering in this alternate method, which is more intrusive to our personal privacy, really.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a big push all across the board for governments, be it the federal government, state, or local, even across the entire world, to get as much biometric information on we the people as possible, be it a thumb scan, a facial recognition scan, an iris scan, your DNA. They even are collecting the pictures that they take of you in these scanners and could potentially use them to scan your body. But it's a major problem. It's all part of a global push to basically document and identify about every single living being in this world. And it doesn't stop with human beings. They're also, through the NACE, National Animal Identification System, trying to track and control every single one of them. Some people, a lot of people from a Christian background, think that this is an effort for the devil, who they see operating through government to match the power of God, which is omnipotence, omnipresence, and omniscience, meaning that he's all-powerful, all-knowing, and he's everywhere at the same time. So by getting all this information, they're hoping to be omniscient and know everything, and we see it...
Our safety.
It's for your own good, of course. They want your DNA.
For our security.
At these sobriety checkpoints, a lot of instances, they're taking a passenger's blood. We went to a Fusion Center conference with Operation Defuse, OperationDefuse.com, a local effort to push back on the Fusion Center in Police State. And one of our participants actually got to sit in and see a demonstration of this iris scan. And it's some really scary stuff. So, yeah, Rink was saying, you know, I got a funny feeling about this. Usually the mainstream media doesn't really cover stuff in depth like this, these important issues. And a lot of times what we see coming from the establishment is something called problem-reaction-solution, also known as the Hegelian dialectic of... thesis,
check it out. Wikipedia that.
Thesis, antithesis, the opposite of the thesis, and then the synthesis, bringing the two together. So what we see here is they bring a problem, these intrusive TSA body scanners or the pat-down. Wow, that's a really big problem. There's a reaction, which we see them somewhat fermenting by covering this, just beating the dead horse. People are getting upset, so they're going to say, okay, we got a solution. We recognize that this may be a little invasive, and you guys push back a whole lot and, you know, got massive media coverage. So we have a better solution for you. And, of course, here on consumerreports.org in their blogs, there's a article all clear on bypassing airport security again. So this caught my eye because just 2 days before, Rink over here was saying, you know, this seems like it could be problem reaction solution. So this article says an opt-in program that charges airline passengers to bypass airport security lines is being resuscitated more than 2 years after its abrupt shutdown. The CLEAR program relaunched in Orlando last week and is preparing to start up in Denver. After submitting fingerprints and iris scans, members are issued a CLEAR card with these biometric data. Kiosks at participating airports then allow them to confirm their identity and speed through security. So, ladies and gentlemen, it appears like this problem reaction solution is just pushing right on through. And again, there's a massive effort, but in every single instance possible to get this facial recognition on you, to get these iris scans. They also have facial recognition cameras that they're starting to roll out that can scan your face up to 500 feet away. And there's even some local municipalities that are putting these up in public areas and control you.
Check out how this works. So if this comes along, not only will people claim a victory and be like, yeah, we got rid of the pat downs. Hooray! We rose up against the man. And at the same time, this program, they actually charge you.
Yeah.
So sure. It's like you end up paying an annual fee to be rid of it. And it like will seem reasonable because it's like, I'll pay $179 a year so that they're not going to be touching my junk, not going to be irradiating me and my family. So this is the thing. And this isn't just some conspiracy theory. This is the way that governments have worked throughout history. Thousands of years ago, this idea where they sort of, you know, kind of work to move through an agenda, but they just can't shove it down your throat. And so this is a strategy that's been implemented. So always keep your eye out for that. We'll see what happens. I mean, this might not come to pass in America. Mm-hmm. I mean, people are mad, and people are becoming aware of these intrusive things with biometrics and things. We just got to watch out for that. Well, listen, we've got Jack Spierko of the Survival Podcast coming up next. Stick around for this. This is going to be a great segment. We're going to talk about what the average person can do just to prepare for things. Is there going to be an economic collapse? Is there going to be, our food prices going to go up? I mean, what can we do now to protect ourselves against that? Mm-hmm. Even if it's not Armageddon, yep. What can we do just to have a better life now? So stick around for us as we interview Jack Spierko, thesurvivalpodcast.com. This is Live Free Austin on 98.9, The Big Talker.
Live Free Austin, livefreeaustinradio.com every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. You can check us out live FM here on 98.9 FM, The Big Talker, more stimulating talk. Or you can check out the stream on the website, livefreeaustinradio.com. Also have podcasts going, but right now we got a wonderful guest, Jack Spierko. Jason, why don't you give a little introduction? You've been listening to the podcast for a while.
Yeah, and you know what? This is a great podcast, thesurvivalpodcast.com. Jack used to record this in his car between Arlington and Frisco, Texas, is where he got the thing going. And now he does it out of his, you know, home studio or you know, underground bunker, who knows. but anyway, a lot of great information on the show. And Jack, glad you can join us. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of how you got involved in both doing the podcast and in survivalism in general?
Yeah, since times of essence here, the abbreviated version is I was a guy that grew up in, split my childhood between rural Florida and rural Pennsylvania, and really grew up with the country boy learnings of, you know, kind of the old school type philosophy, hunting, fishing, primitive skills, you know, you don't spend money you don't have, all that good stuff. And then I, you know, left home and moved to Dallas, Texas, and got, you know, what they call successful. And decided that all of that stuff really didn't make a lot of sense anymore because I had all this money coming in and credit cards and stuff like that, and started living the American dream. And I did that for about, I guess, about 15 years. I found myself in a mountain of debt, realized something was missing, and looked back to kind of my roots and put my family on a path toward a more self-sufficient, self-reliant, and debt-free living style around 2001, right after 9/11. That I was traveling at the time, and that really hit home. And then in 2008, I decided that I needed to tell America what I'd learned and what I'd learned from my research and what I'd learned from my childhood and all of this stuff together. And that all accumulated into something called the Survival Podcast, which back in June of 2008 was just me ranting like a loon in my car doing 65 miles down the road into a small recorder. And that's blossomed into a community of people that are focused on self-sufficiency and self-reliance. Of about 15,000 people today. So there's the abbreviated version of
it. Well, that's funny, man. I mean, a lot of people probably drive to work ranting to themselves down the highway. They ought to just flip on a recorder, and the next thing they know, they might have themselves a podcast.
Nice.
You know, that's part of what did it. I would listen to these radio talk show hosts, and they'd chill for one side or the other on the political stuff, and I'd start screaming at the radio, and I thought, maybe I should record this. Maybe somebody will listen to it.
That's what that cat Stefan Molyneux did. His podcast, which is real successful now, started off ranting and raving just like that.
Yeah,
it's great.
So I like it. Well, man, you know, this idea of survivalism, you know, that can possibly freak some people out, or they might start thinking about, oh, this is
crazy right wingers.
Yeah, I got to start a militia, go up in the mountains, all that sort of thing. So, you know, number one, is there some different levels of preparedness and survivalism? And sort of what's the difference between, say, a survivalist, a prepper, and like a homesteader? I mean, are there kind of different? Is there a spectrum of this type of lifestyle?
Yeah, I think a lot of that is self-chosen, what you want to call yourself. You can call yourself whatever you want. We still have at least that much freedom in this country. But it definitely, my stuff is not about hiding in a bunker in Idaho, sitting on 50 cases of MREs with a foil hat on, worried about the black helicopters. It is a realistic look that we are now living in a society where our government is spending money we don't have, printing money we shouldn't be printing. We've got all types of threats out there from small, you know, think about it this way. The biggest disaster for most Americans in the past few years has been what? Honey, I lost my job.
Right.
And people are going 99 weeks and coming off unemployment after 99 weeks and still not finding a job.
Yeah.
So we're prepping for everything from that mundane stuff to, yeah, I mean, we have to be honest when we look at what our government's doing. You guys talk about this. There's a reason gold is like, what, $1,600 an ounce or something right now. It's insane.
Right.
It's the devaluation of money. So it's everything in between. Now, homesteader, you know, that's you don't have to explain that. That's typically the guy that lives out in the country, or now we got him in the city, the urban homesteaders that are just trying to make that little farm, kind of like modern versions of Little House on the Prairie.
Right.
Preppers, most people call themselves preppers, kind of think about just being ready for disasters. They're more into what I call self-reliance and self-sufficiency. Self-reliance is if something fails, I've got a flashlight if the lights go out. I've got a generator if the power goes off. But those are short-term solutions that allow me to be self-reliant until, you know, society puts things back together in a relatively short-term event. Survivalists tend to focus more on true self-sufficiency, so that if I am using grid power, it's only because I choose to, so I can have more. But I've actually built up my home to the point where if the power goes out, I still got lights on, I can cook, and I can do this long-term. The traditional survivalist that everybody thinks of as the whack job hiding in the hills, I guess that comes from the 70s with the Cold War and all. I kind of am an advocate of what I call modern survivalism. And that all hinges around everything we do today to prepare for disaster tomorrow should make our lives better, even if nothing goes wrong. So if we're out of debt, we're better off whether the economy collapses or not. If I have extra food in the house, I'm better off whether or not I actually need that food or it's just a convenience. So I don't have to leave my house. You know how some guys go, you know, you want to make something, you find a recipe. We don't leave the house. We have a convenience store in our own home.
Right.
So it bridges that. It's kind of a deep topic to knock out 11 minutes, but it bridges that whole spectrum.
That's great. Yeah, I recently am starting a square foot garden in the backyard, slaughtered my first rooster for the first time, hands-on. It was pretty exciting. And recently took part in a course to set up a community garden in our neighborhood. And one of the things that I asked this nonprofit that trains people on how to do that is, you know, do you guys see any trends? Why do we see this resurgence of this self-reliance of the community garden movement? There's like 30 or 40 in Austin, and more than half of them popped up in the past 2 or 3 years. Besides the economy, can you think of anything that would be driving this trend? You know, of course, they're trying to take away our ability to feed ourselves. We see a decline in self-sufficiency, a decline in self-reliance, and people producing their own food and whatnot. Can you think of any other reasons why we're seeing this trend back towards self-reliance and self-sufficiency besides the economy?
I think the economy is only the trigger, because economies trigger people to do things, and then if there's nothing else in it for them, they don't stick to it. Mm-hmm. So the economy can trigger somebody to plant a garden, but if they get another job and they didn't get anything out of that garden other than some free food, they're going to stop doing it. What's causing this is America has gone so far from what we really are, just human beings, and we've started to behave like robots. I mean, you don't have to go back to colonial times. You can go back to the 50s when men knew how to fix stuff, you know. If there was a wall with a hole in it, screw it, we'll panel it. That's how men were in the 50s. Now, if something's broken, we call a guy. When we need food, we go to the store. And this entire connection between human beings and the earth, and I don't mean in some deep kind of airy-fairy spiritual way, but we are, I mean, think about it. Without this planet, we don't exist. So we are connected at our core. And these things that we do, like provide our own food, be connected to that, garden, these things are innate. We grew as a species over thousands of years, hunting, gathering, early agriculture created the first societies. That's in us from generation upon generation upon generation. The economy triggers it, but as soon as people start to do it, it's almost like a, you know, gardening, I call it a gateway drug into preparedness.
Yeah.
As soon as you put your hands into that garden, especially if you've got kids, you do it with them, and you pull that fresh tomato out or that fresh pepper out, and you eat that, and you realize, I provided this for myself. It awakens something, and then it gets like a virus, a positive virus, and it starts spreading. Because I can't really go to my neighbor and try to talk to them about Austrian economics, because they're not going to listen to me, because they're, you know, they're as far liberal as you can get. But I can hand them a tomato or a pepper, and that starts a dialogue. And I think it's more about what it means to people once they start doing these things than whatever actually triggers it in the first place.
Wow, that's, you know, that statement you just made there, as far as it being a way to sort of establish community with people, because we've really lost community. I talk about a lot of the issues we experience in our society, and so many times I say, you know, I think this is about the breakdown of community, because we're not front porch neighborhoods anymore, and we don't know our neighbors, and we go into our cocoons, and we have no idea, and so we don't have each other's back.
We call the police when something's out of place instead of checking it out or calling the neighbor.
Yeah, some fool called 911 because there were no nuggets at McDonald's like last year. I mean, that's
right.
I'm seriously, that happened. I mean, what you're talking about really here is the advent of the six-foot-tall wooden privacy fence.
Yeah,
and everybody that lives outside of their home now goes in their backyard instead of their front yard.
Mm-hmm.
We're back in the day, people had picket fences or chain links, or you could actually see across to your neighbor. Now, not only do you put the wood fence up, we plant huge red tip bushes that don't provide any food for us to block the view of the roof of the neighbor's house.
Mm-hmm.
And I see this really, like, in my local community. I've tried to reach out as much as I can, but a lot of people just aren't interested.
Mm-hmm.
But when I have a second place that we're actually moving to in January up in Arkansas, the underground boat bunker location,
right.
And there's about 10 neighbors that live on about 400 acres up there. And we know those people that we've seen once a month or once every other month for the past few years better than we know the people that live next door to us.
Mm.
Because they don't have 6-foot-tall privacy fences. And the more you have to rely on yourself, the more you also have to rely on people next to you. What we're talking about is not isolationism. It is the rebirth of that community. But it's a rebirth of a community based on, you know, people talk about this, the sharing mentality of a socialist state. That's not sharing. Sharing doesn't happen at gunpoint. Sharing happens between equals.
That's right.
And this country used to be that. We would share between equals, which means if I give you something or you give me something, we've both chosen to do that. We're not being forced to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's another very human thing. And I think that's another thing that's kind of spreading this whole preparedness thing around the country and this back to the land thing around the country. It leads us back to human concepts, which we've just flat out lost.
Yeah. Nice. No, I think you're hitting it right on the head. And I know that... Yeah. Somebody who kind of inspired you along the way was Jules Gervais out in California, and he makes a statement in his Homegrown Revolution video that, you know, growing food is a revolutionary, it's a radical act, because it's, like you said, the gateway drug. It allows you to move towards this place where you're like, you know what, I don't need all of these systems necessarily. I can choose to engage in those systems, and it's the first place to move in that way. And then, like you said, once you infuse that with the community that you begin to develop with other people who are like-minded, or even your neighbors who aren't, to be able to hand them a tomato or a pepper. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is a very...
powerful.
Exactly. Well, listen, we're actually moving into a break, but when we come out of the other side, we're going to wrap about a few other things regarding modern survivalism with Jack Spierko of thesurvivalpodcast.com. We're also going to talk about Senate Bill 510, known as the FDA Food Safety Modernization Act, and maybe what that is and isn't, and just kind of see if we can't uncover some of the information about that and how that might impact our lives. So stick with us. This is Live Free Austin with Jason Rink and John Bush, and we'll see you after the break.
Attention, Big Talker listeners. Want to get the real information on the agenda behind the Obama administration's policies? Brave New Books, Austin's own fiercely independent bookstore, has the resources you need to understand the Federal Reserve, international banking, and the forces behind President Obama. Brave New Books is located a block south of UT at 1904 Guadalupe Street. Contact us at 480-2503 or at bravenewbookstore.com.
More energy, stronger immune power, improved sense of well-being. How many supplements have you heard boast of these benefits? The team behind Centrition believes that supplements should over-deliver on their promises. And Centrition does just that. Centrition utilizes the ancient healing wisdom of Chinese medicine in conjunction with the science of modern nutrition. Adaptogenic herbs serve as the healing component, and organic hemp protein in greens and superfoods act as a balanced nutrient base. Plus, Centrition tastes great in just water. This powder supplement is everything you'd want in a product, and it's all natural. Visit Centrition.com to order yours or call 1-866-497-7436. After you use Centrition, you'll believe in supplements again.
Are you tired of big government treading on your liberty? Well, so are we. We're Brave New Books, the fiercest independent bookstore in Austin. Located a block south of UT Austin, Brave New Books not only carries the information you need to be ahead of the curve, but we also have water filters, storable food, and superfoods that help you put your health back into your own hands. Contact us at 480-2503 at bravenewbookstore.com or stop by at 1904 Guadalupe Street.
Welcome back. Live Free Austin. This is Jason Rink and John Bush at 3 to 4 on Saturdays. Check us out. Spread the word. LiveFreeAustinRadio.com is where you can check out our other podcasts from previous shows. We've got Jack Spierko with thesurvivalpodcast.com. We've been talking to about modern survival philosophy. And Jack, you made a statement last segment about, you know, people calling 911 these days because McDonald's runs out of chicken McNuggets. And, you know, I read an article about New York City and how people were using their ovens and refrigerators as closets. Because,
yeah, they call them kitchenistas. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, people don't realize, but, you know, the Walmart, they don't grow the food. And, you know, most of these stores, they have like 2.5 days worth of supply. A breakdown in the distribution chain can leave a lot of these people with the kitchen. What is it? The kitchenista?
Kitchenistas.
Yeah.
Kitchenistas.
They could be in a world of hurt if they don't, you know, if even just a small hiccup in the supply chain were to happen.
Absolutely. I mean, and what people don't realize, that 2.5 days is based on standard inventory rotation, which means that they figured out over the years that the basic guy walks in and buys some stuff, buys a certain amount of stuff, and, you know, you have all the little shopping discount cards right now. What do you think that's about, folks? That's about inventory control and demographic data. And they've got this plan to what they call just-in-time inventory, because inventory on the shelf for a retailer is dead. So they want to turn that inventory as quick as they can. So as a business model, it makes sense. But we go into any kind of a hiccup or a disaster where people just buy a little bit more, and that 2.5 days becomes a day and a half or a day. And the only thing left on the shelf is a few cans of Spam that nobody wants to eat, but they buy them anyway. Down here in Texas, I mean, you should see what happens. You get an inch of snow. An inch of snow. Well, you're in Texas too. That's right here in Austin. An inch of snow, and there's no milk or bread on the shelf for 3 days. It's crazy.
Yep, it's pretty wild. So, Jack, there's been a lot of controversy surrounding this Senate Bill 510. A lot of the alarmists, like good old Alex Jones, are claiming that if Senate Bill 510 passes, they'll kick down your door and take your garden and your daughter while they're at it. But, you know, a lot, if you actually go back and look at it, it doesn't seem that extreme. And I do know that, you know, the federal government especially likes to use this gradualism to where they start with these larger firms and they slowly creep into the local farms. And then before you know it, they might be in your backyard. Why don't you let the listeners know why they should be concerned with this type of action, Senate Bill 510, and really what it's all about?
Sure. First, that was one of the best Alex Jones impressions I've ever heard. And it's probably something he would say, too. But Senate Bill 510 is a pig of a bill. But the first thing we have to do is get real with what parts of it, you know, we can just kind of just accept. And that is that 80% of the power that's in this bill already exists. It's spread up against multiple agencies, and now they put them all into one agency. So we take that 80% and go, we can oppose it because it's big government, but then we oppose all that stuff anyway. So that we can just kind of push off. There's about 20% of the bill that focuses on the tracking systems for food. And and to be fair to our government, there is some concern here because we've had things like salmonella-laced chicken, we've had poisoned peanut butter, we've had hepatitis-infused green onions, we've had problems with tomatoes. We've had all these things happen over the last 5 years, but they've all been done by big agriculture with large distribution chains. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, okay, there's a problem with tomatoes, and we think it's tomatoes from California or Mexico. So now every tomato from California or Mexico gets stripped off the shelf. Millions of dollars are lost. People are sick. People are paranoid. So, like, we got to do something about this. So what they put in this bill was a provision to basically track a tomato from Mexico to where it ends up on a guy's plate in Pennsylvania every step along the way. Mm. That guy gets sick. They can immediately go back, look, and go, this is the source, and they know where – there's the important part. They know where all the other food from that source is. They can pull that off without affecting everybody else. That in itself doesn't sound like a bad idea until you try to make a guy with 17 chickens and 4 acres of corn that sells on a roadside stand do the same type of paperwork and tracking. Mm. And there was no bifurcation in this bill that separated that guy from the giant multinational conglomerate. To be fair to the Democrats here, Democrat John Tester out of Montana introduced an amendment that's been passed and attached to this bill now that exempts any concern from this bill that's under $500,000 a year in revenue and transports its food either within its state or less than 400 miles. So all this stuff about your backyard tomatoes was always nonsense. This bill had nothing to do with your garden. Mm-hmm. But if there was any possibility that it could, this Tester Amendment, as they're calling it, kind of walls it up. I still think it sucks. I still think we should oppose it, but I kind of see it this way. With the Tester Amendment, we don't have – with this lame duck Congress, we can't stop this thing. They've got the votes. They brought it out of cloture with, like, 73 votes. So this is like triage against it to at least protect the small producer. So if you're going to contact your senators – by the way, here in Texas, Senator Cornyn opposes this and publicly opposes this. Senator Hutchison voted against it for cloture but hasn't quite made her mind up about the entire thing yet. Mm-hmm. Is not really sure and doesn't have a public statement. Well, that's Kay Hutchison, right? She never has – a definitive statement. In fact, when I called her office, it took 4 people to figure out what Senate Bill 510 was.
Jeez.
Wow.
Well, yeah, and I think you hit on a good point, and it's this idea that most of the problems that we have in the food system comes from this corporate farming and this big agriculture. And you find out that these small farms are actually doing things in a much healthier, cleaner,
organic, sanitary
way.
Non-GMO.
Yeah. And, you know, that is another reason for us to be moving back towards the localism and the smaller farmer and garden. So, Jack, you know what? We're ending this time that we have here. And so I just wanted to give you a chance to maybe, again, plug your podcast. Tell us what else you've got going on or anything else people can do to check out what you're doing.
Well, definitely. The place you want to go, folks, is the thesurvivalpodcast.com. and or just Google Survival Podcast. The whole front page of Google is basically me, and you'll find me. The show, I did my 558th episode today. All of the episodes are available in archive, can be downloaded, listened to. You can subscribe on iTunes. Go to iTunes and search for Survival Podcast. We have a great forum, an awesome community of people, a tremendous knowledge base in the forum, so check the forum out as well. And tune in Monday through Friday, and then listen to these guys here on Saturday.
Hey, great. Thanks a lot, Jack. Thanks for your time, and keep doing what you're doing, man. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Jack. Lots of good info.
Thanks for having me on.
There you have it, folks. That's what it's all about, really, taking the responsibility back into your own hands. Far too often, not only do we abrogate responsibility to the government to protect us or to provide us health care or to provide us roads to drive on even, but we also abrogate responsibility to sustain ourselves through nutrients and food to these big agri companies, to HEB, to your local grocer. So it's not that hard to set it up. You can check out thesurvivalpodcast.com. They got a lot of information about backyard gardens. Gardens and simple home homesteading, and even if you have less than an acre or just a smaller backyard, we have a pretty dang small backyard, and we're going to get a couple 4x10 beds back there, and it's going to be able to produce a lot of food for us.
Yeah, and you know what? The Foundation for a Free Society, we have a video posted that you want to check out. It's called Homegrown Revolution, and you can go to myfreesociety.com and check that out.
The videos tab.
Yeah, it's a great video that shows this family that on basically a tenth of an acre in Pasadena, California, they harvest 6,000 pounds of fruits and vegetables every year.
Now,
and
that's liberty right there.
That's right. This means that really this is a lack of knowledge that we have in moving to more freedom and liberty in our mm-hmm. lives when it comes to self-sufficiency.
That's right.
And when it comes to building community.
That's right.
And you know what? One thing that we want to do is we want to be a source in our community that there's going to be a lot of people who don't listen. They're not looking ahead and seeing some of the things that could go down.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be great if we would be able to be a resource for our communities to say, hey, look, you know what? Do you guys need some food? Do you need some help? Back in the day, it used to be that way. We helped mm-hmm. out those in our community. We didn't look to big government to provide for our needs and charity at the point of a gun.
That's right.
And so if we can bring that back, if we endorse that, we've got to bring it back personally.
That's right. You got to live it.
We do. We got to live the life. If you're going to live free, baby, you got to live free.
That's right. We're living free every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. We want to thank Jack Spirico at thesurvivalpodcast.com for coming on again. You could check out our archives of all our great interviews and great shows at livefreeaustinradio.com. Stick around next Saturday, 3 to 4 p.m. We'll be back. Jason Rink, John Bush, as always, asking you to live free, Austin.
That's right.
More energy, stronger immune power, improved sense of well-being. How many supplements have you heard boast of these benefits? The team behind Centrition believes that supplements should over-deliver on their promises. And Centrition does just that. Centrition utilizes the ancient healing wisdom of Chinese medicine in conjunction with the science of modern nutrition. Adaptogenic herbs serve as the healing component, and organic hemp protein in greens and superfoods act as a balanced nutrient base. Plus, Centrition tastes great in just water. This powder supplement is everything you'd want in a product, and it's all natural. Visit Centrition.com to order yours or call 1-866-497-7436. After you use Centrition, you'll believe in supplements again.
Are you tired of big government treading on your liberty? Well, so are we. We're Brave New Books, the fiercest independent bookstore in Austin. Located a block south of UT Austin, Brave New Books not only carries the information you need to be ahead of the curve, but we also have water filters, storable food, and superfoods that help you put your health back into your own hands. Contact us at 480-2503 at bravenewbookstore.com or stop by at 1904 Guadalupe Street.